I'm Mary Byers, and this is Associations Today. My guest is Scott Pigott, CEO of the Michigan Farm Bureau. Scott, I appreciate you being here with me today. You're doing something that I think is so interesting. I talk to associations about really focusing on helping members work less stressfully, more profitably, and more productively, and you're doing that in a very unique way. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing.
First of all, we're a large farm organization. We represent 45,000 farmers in our state, and it's very diverse in Michigan. We have a lot of fruits and vegetables as well as row crops and livestock. Our fruit growers were having a horrible time getting people to help them pick fruit and their vegetables, primarily apples and asparagus, very high-valued crops that required people that knew what they were doing when they were picking stuff. So a lot of them used migrant labor throughout the many, many years. When 9/11 happened, a lot of migration across the border, both legal and illegal, stopped. And a lot of that labor went away. So our members came to us and said, we need some help. Our mission is to benefit the interests of our members, whether they're economic, social, educational. That's our intent. So we worked through the federal H-2A program. We created a new company that was intended to bring legal farmers, legal workers to Michigan to help on asparagus, primarily in apple farms. And so far it's worked quite well.
So would you say you're fully into the program? Are you in process? And what's the response been so far?
We're in the second year of our program. We started it up as an LLC last year. We capitalized it out of one of our affiliate companies at $400,000. And in its first year of full operations, it showed a profit. We were able to work with 20 farmers last year. We brought in 1,000 migrant laborers into the state. We worked directly with those producers step by step, every way through the process, helping them dot all the I's, cross all the T's, and we got a lot of people waiting to get into the program.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes when you help your members do what they do better, it makes other people unhappy. Talk a little bit about any resistance that you might have gotten and how you've handled it.
Resistance coming from a lot of different directions on this project. The federal agencies don't make it easy to be able to get workers where they need to be. And we also have people who are working on farms that they feel displaced. So you have people who are domestic workers, that's a friction point also. You have constant friction with language barriers. Also, we just didn't have enough workers in the state. So by bringing in 1,000 workers, it may not seem like a lot when we bring in 40,000 migrant laborers into the state on an annual basis, but it's really taken the pressure off certain areas of the state, particularly around asparagus and apples.
And so what legal ramifications then did you have to consider? I imagine that was pretty complicated.
Very complicated. In fact, we both have general counsel in-house in our organization, but we worked a lot through other firms. Corporate bails were very important. We know that at some point this company will get sued. We've seen it in other companies that do like things in other places, in other states. So we made sure that we had protections in place for the parent organization, our other affiliates, as well as the farmers. We just want to make sure that they have a great experience and maybe get a little sleep the night before their workers are supposed to arrive.
And you said you had some in-house expertise. You used some expertise from outside your four walls. How did you find that additional expertise and put together your team?
When putting together the team, the first part was really having someone that could identify with both the worker and the farmer. So we were so blessed with having one of our members that had one of their daughters that was bilingual, that was great with working with the workers. We hired her to help to coordinate the program, to help coordinate the application process. We also had some in-house support currently. We were using, we had a bilingual staff that was helping us to get labor, not labor, but safety information out to our farmers. And then we added another staff that we met through the interview process when we hired that first coordinator. He's now out in the field. He's born in Mexico, and he's one of the people that's helping to promote the program. So we now have three bilingual staff. If you'd have asked me that 10 years ago, if we'd had bilingual staff at Michigan Farm Bureau, I would have said no. But it's been a real blessing on so many different fronts. Some of it's good fortune and luck, but I think chance favors the well-prepared, and we were prepared to go out and build this company.
So you talk a little bit about expansion plans. If it's gone well so far, I'm guessing that you probably have more members that want to be a part of it. You may have more laborers that want to be a part of it. So what's next?
I have learned from a lot of smart people that you can dream big, start small, scale fast. We started small and we did it intentionally. We are growing very slowly because we have to make sure there's integrity in the program. That first farm that has a bad experience is going to ruin it for everybody from either a legal perspective or just the integrity of the program. We would like to continue to add slowly to the number of farms we have, almost make it like a certification process such that when you know that the farmer that's next to you, he's gone through the same rigor that you have and you can feel confident in the program. We may transition this, we may spin it off as an association. As an LLC, it has certain protections, but we can't move workers between farms. So you may be a farm and have somebody picking your asparagus, but those folks got to go home when they're done picking asparagus instead of going to your farm to pick apples. So if we could create an association, we can get beyond that. Just to, when you think of it from the migrant laborers' perspective, they're making more money in 6 weeks than they do in a year in Mexico. We're also planning a mission trip down to Mexico with our staff and our farmers to show those folks that are coming up to help us that we want to help them. So we're really trying to grow slow and grow it very intentionally.
Wonderful. Let's think for any association executives who is interested in doing something big and very, very meaningful for their members, but who might meet resistance, who might not have the expertise. How would you counsel them? What advice would you give them?
Don't let anything take you from mission. As the CEO, you are the keeper of the mission. Make sure that your board is aligned to the decision that you've made, and make sure that the producers understand the risks. We were addressing a true problem that nobody else was addressing, and that's why it was a good fit for us. We didn't want to compete with private industry nor any other association. That's what made this a good fit for us and a profit center.
Wonderful. Scott, thank you so much for your time. I'd like to thank my partner, ComPartners. If you are looking for an online service provider, I suggest you give them a call at compartners.com.